to the voice of God. And I thought about the will of God, because we all want to know the will of God. And it would be good if, you know, the pastor would just get up and say, this is the will of God. And, you know, people ask all the time, Pastor, what do you think about this? I just need to know. I just need to know if this is the will of God. And they're wanting an answer. They're wanting some clarification on something that they've been dealing with, or maybe a decision. It doesn't always happen that people seek counsel or get advice on things. But, you know, the simple solution is in 2 Thessalonians. And I've shared that before. And it says in 2 Thessalonians 5 and 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So there's how you know the will of God right there. If you're really seeking the will of God, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. That's the will of God. However, there's a part that we play, and that is being able to know and discern and to listen to the voice of the Lord. Being able to understand that when He's leading us in a certain direction, or He's giving some guidance, God speaks in a lot of different ways. And there are some that say God doesn't speak to people. There was a sect of Pharisees that came. They were about 800 years before Christ. They thought all the speaking that God did was in the first five books of the Bible. That was it. That was the extent of God speaking. But we believe that God still speaks today. He gives guidance today. Does He still speak audibly? Sure He does. I believe He does. I believe God speaks in an audible voice to people, but many times He speaks to us in a still small voice, or in reading the Word of God. And He can speak. He might speak to you through your spouse. I know that's hard to accept, because some people think they're so much more spiritual than their spouse. How could God ever speak through them? Listen, God will use a variety of instruments and people in different circumstances to speak to us. What makes the difference is, are we able to hear and listen and understand? No, God, You're speaking to me right now. So there are some different things, but He does still speak. It says in Matthew 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means He is continuing to speak to us. That is a continual thing. He's speaking in an ongoing basis in our lives. It could be translated this: by every word that has been spoken and continues to be spoken by God. And he's always giving us guidance and directions. We don't just go through life just kind of finding our way and hoping that we're making the right decisions. If we do that, then we waste a lot of time. And we put not just ourselves, but we put other people in our lives at risk based on our assumptions of things. Well, I think I'll try this. Well, no, I think I'm going to try this over here. Oh, that didn't work. Let me try this. I would much rather get a clear word from God and be able to know and discern the mind of God and the leadings of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want. And so it's important that we have an understanding. So where does our responsibility end and God's begin? Where do we stop? Where does God start? In Zechariah 4:6, you know the scripture. It says, it is not by might, not by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's by the Spirit of God. But some people think that God's going to do, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen because God did it. Because it's not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. But there is a part that we play in being obedient and being able to step in to the destiny that God has for our lives. Imagine that God has a specific destiny for us. It's a blueprint. It's something that He sees from an eternal perspective, and he leads us and He guides us in various ways. Sometimes it's in His Word. Sometimes it's in a host of ways. We'll look at those in just a moment. But God does speak to us in our lives. Sometimes it's in pain. Sometimes it's in tragedy. We don't want that. We don't desire that. But there's a time when God does speak to us, and it's a very painful time in our lives. That definition of prompting, I was looking at it in the Oxford Dictionary, and that definition of that says, the action of saying something to persuade, encourage, or remind someone to do something or to say something. The action of persuading. There's a prompting. It's a word from God that causes us to take a step in a certain direction or to say something that needs to be said. It's not necessarily a audible voice from heaven. It's a still small voice. It's a prompting. It's a quickening in our spirit. It's just something in us that leaps in us. And it's like you think I don't know where that came from. I don't know what caused that, but I just feel that there's an urgency for me to do something or to take care of something, to cause someone to say or do something. Now, they gave a couple of examples. After some prompting, the suspect gave the police his name. How many have ever had to have some prompting to do something? Or kids of that age shouldn't really need prompting to say thank you. We've all had to tell our kids, what do you say? Say thank you. Don't do that. Why are you doing that? You're prompting them. How about this one? Without any prompting, my husband told me I look nice. Uh-oh. If your wife has to prompt you, I mean, you're already behind. All right? You ought to be able to say, honey, your hair looks nice without any prompting. You just say it, right? I'm going to do a marriage class in here. So there's times when God puts something in our heart. It's not that he spoke it audibly, but he prompts us. And you see this in Nehemiah 7 and verse number 5. Here, it's an amazing book and an excellent book to read. And there's so much to get out of Nehemiah. If you ever take the time to just read through Nehemiah and take it slow and take it chapter by chapter and study it, you'll get so much. But here, they come to the place where Nehemiah's gotten a word from God. He's gotten a clear call from the Lord to go back to Jerusalem and build the walls of the city, rebuild the walls. The walls have been, they've been torn down. I mean, they're completely down. And so he gets this mandate and this call of God to return to Jerusalem where the walls have been broken down. And they didn't just fall down. They've been down for 100 years. And he goes back to rebuild the walls of the city. And it says in verse number 5, then my God put it into my heart. God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, and the people that they might be registered by genealogy. What's happening is the walls of the city have been built and there's no people inside. What was broken down for 100 years, they rebuilt it in 52 days. That's a miracle. Just 52 days. Today is the 42nd day of the year. Next Wednesday will be the 52nd day of the year. Next Wednesday. Can you imagine in the time from the beginning of the year till next Wednesday to rebuild the walls of that city? They did it that fast, but it was something that God was involved in. God was in it. It wasn't human effort. They built all of those walls. They didn't worry about what was going on the inside. They were just putting the walls up. And then they had to fill it with people. And so they don't want just a bunch of foreigners coming in and people that otherwise they won't have the right inhabitants. And so he says, we've got to get some Jewish people in here. And they went by genealogy. But where did that idea come from? It wasn't just out of his own intellect and his own genius. It was something, it says here, that then my God put it into my heart. In the New Living Translation, it says, then God gave me the idea. God will give you an idea. God will put something in your heart, something that it's not from man. It doesn't come from our own carnal desires or our own appetite for things or for what we want. It comes from God. It's heaven sent. He puts that there, and it is there for a purpose. It was God's idea. And when he does this and he puts it into our heart or something, he puts something in our mind, it's a God idea. It's from heaven. It's a God idea. And how many know a God idea is better than a good idea? How many have ever been asked, somebody say, well, why'd you do it? Well, it seemed like a good idea. Where did that get you? How many have ever gotten in trouble? And when you were asked about it, you said, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. And there are consequences. There are things that follow that because in our own flesh, in our own desires, we don't produce very many good things. But when God puts it there and God is about bringing it to fruition, it's a God idea. And a God idea is a whole lot better than a good idea. Amen. And you know, there are some here that really you could be used of God in ways that are far beyond what you could, where you're at right now, if you could learn to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit and separate out the good ideas, good with quotes, and the God ideas. Because we've chased a lot of good ideas that didn't turn out to be so good. And God wants to give you an idea that takes you forward this year, that moves you forward, that moves the needle in the right direction. Sometimes we make decisions and we're not progressing, we're regressing, we're going backwards. And then we're wondering why are we not able to get ground? Why can't we get our footing? Why can't we get ahead? Why can't we get ahead in our finances? Why is it that we're always behind the eight ball? Nothing seems to be changing. Well, we could be just acting on impulse and out of our own flesh. I've done that before. Made bad decisions. I thought about a time when Emily and I wanted to buy a new car. God spared us actually on this one. I've made some bad car choices, but this one, God spared us. We got a bright idea. We thought, why don't we get us one of those Geo Trackers? How many remember the Geo Tracker? Maybe you had one. And we had this blue Honda that every time you started it, it would fill the street with smoke. I mean, it was a smoke bomb car. And as long as I got out there early before the neighbors got out there, I was all right. But it was embarrassing. We thought, well, let's get us one of those Geo Trackers. We went down here to Motor City, drove down from Greeley, came down to Motor City, and we took one of those vehicles for a drive. And that salesman was working hard on us. We thought, well, let us think about it. We actually went back and test drove it a second time. But something stopped us. Something prompted us. And we just said, well, you know what? Neither one of us feels this is the right thing to do. And out of just good sense and listening, I feel like to the Holy Spirit, walked away from that deal. Another time we decided we need a big screen TV. We got a little TV. We want a bigger TV. Let's go over to Best Buy and we'll just look at that wall of TVs there. And we'll pick out the one we want. We got so excited about it. And we picked one of those TVs. We paid for it and we didn't get even across the street to get to the car, and we thought, what in the world are we doing? We don't have any business buying a big screen TV. We don't have the money to pay for this. We didn't even make it to the car. We turned right around, went right back inside, and returned it. And you know what we said when we walked out of there? We high-fived each other. We just saved ourselves $900 or however much it was. I don't even remember how much. Well, that was a smart decision. But, you know, usually these promptings, they come as a result of spending time in prayer. They come as a result of having a relationship, a close relationship with the Lord and really seeking out the mind of God and the will of God. Out of that, there is courage and there's faith in God. So why does God give us these things? He uses these promptings in our lives to move us forward in His plan. To move us forward in His plan. And to fulfill His work on this earth. We're the hands and feet. We're his vessels. We're His instruments on this earth. And when He gives us a prompting and He puts something in our heart, it could be that He puts a coworker on your heart. Where did that thought come from? It came from the Lord. He's looking to advance his kingdom on this earth, and he's using you and I to make it happen. It could be in an offering somewhere. It could be in buying somebody's meal or giving somebody a Pentecostal handshake that you know that maybe this is the Lord just directs you to do it. It could be buying groceries for somebody and taking it and leaving it on their doorstep. Being an instrument that God can use and extending the kingdom of God. He might prompt you to do a multitude of things. He might prompt you to call somebody. And out of nowhere, this person's name is on your mind. They're on your heart. I may have had that happen before. You don't even know why. You haven't talked to that person in a long time. You're not even sure where that thought came from. But the Holy Spirit says, I want you to pray for that person. Wakes you up in the middle of the night. That person that name is on your mind. Where is that coming from? That's the Holy Spirit guiding and prompting for us to get involved in the work that he's doing. To participate. Pray for that person. He'll put a person on your mind, or he'll tell you, I want you to encourage that person. Why don't you reach out to them? You never know where that individual is or where that person could be in their mind, in their heart. Something could be just completely desperate in their life. They could be in a place where they don't know what to do. And that moment, God put them on your heart to step in and be an instrument in their life. You may never fully understand it, but that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You might put a desire in your heart for something. You know, God put a desire in our heart for Kenya, and it was something that had been working there, and it was something really in my heart that when God was dealing with me and had put that in my life, I shared it with Emily. It became her desire. And it was something that didn't take place right away, but it was something that God was certainly working in our lives about. Even before we knew we were going to be getting on a plane and going to Kenya, Elena she developed an interest in learning Swahili. All of a sudden, she's practicing, getting as much as she can and trying to learn for herself. This is before she ever had an idea. God begins to line things up in our lives, and there's a prompting in your heart. Long before we ever adopted Reese, long before that, we knew one day we would like to adopt a child, and we would like to adopt a little girl from India. And I even told Pastor Bland, this was way before, I said, you know, we'd like to adopt a child from India. He said, well, if you go over there and you get one for me too. I never forgot it, but God brought that to pass. But it was something that was in our heart. Another example is over in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 14. And you can read more about this particular situation, but it says in Haggai 1 and 14, so the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the enthusiasm of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people, and they began to work on the house of their God, the Lord of heaven's armies. Here they're building the temple. And there was an enthusiasm. Sometimes you know that there is a prompting from God about something when there's a genuine enthusiasm and it comes from the Lord. But just because you get excited about it doesn't mean it's a clear word from God. So there has to be that distinction. Oh, Pastor Paul said, if I'm excited about it, it must be God's will. That's not always the case. I've made some dumb decisions because I was excited about something. But it was me being excited in the flesh, not because it was something that was from God. So there's a distinction here. But enthusiasm comes from this word in the Greek, entheos. Entheos, meaning God's in it. And when there's an enthusiasm that is from God, God is certainly in that thing. When we came from downtown and this building opened up in 1992... you know, this side of town never has had a stellar reputation in town, right? We had a police officer in here doing some training stuff with us not too long ago, and he says, "You guys know you're not in the best part of town, right?" We said, "We know, and we like it. We like it down here." But this building was covered with graffiti. The doors were boarded up. And those that were here and when everything was kind of taking place, you know, there was an excitement about it. There was an enthusiasm about it. Was it a daunting task? Of course it was. Was there a lot of uncertainty? Absolutely. But there was an enthusiasm, there's an excitement, because there was something that God was doing, and there was a longing to be in the will of God and to be able to do what God had called us to do in this city, and this was an open door. There were no walls in here, just the office. There was a couple of walls back here, and maybe a couple of walls on this side, but nothing that is still being used right now. Everything was torn down and redone. All you had was the offices right up here, just an empty shell. Now look at what God's done. Look at all the lives, all the people that God has touched as a result of that. People that are around the world, people that are in other countries, people that they're serving the Lord. They're serving the Lord in other churches, other places, because they met the Lord, because somebody had an enthusiasm, got a word from God, and was excited about it, and listened to the voice of God. And people got behind it. And it was a miracle. It was something that only God did. It was a God idea. It wasn't just a good idea. It was a God idea. What a blessing. But when it comes to walking with the Lord, there needs to be part of us that has an ear to the things of God. I want to give you just a few hindrances to hearing from God, and I'll keep these brief. The first is a heart that's not right before God. In 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, it says, "The eyes of the Lord," this is out of the Living Bible, 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, "The eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward him, so that he can show his great power in helping them." He's looking for hearts that are perfect. We're not perfect people, but our hearts are turned towards him. In other words, we are yielding to his voice, and we want to be in his will. We want to know what he wants us to do. And God wants to reveal his will for people whose hearts are in that state, that condition. They're ready to receive. I preached on it on Sunday, Proverbs and 4 and verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it flow the issues of life." So the heart, that's the seat of our emotions. So there are worldly affections that keep us from hearing from God. Worldly affections. Impure motives keep us from hearing from God. When our motives are wrong, listen to this is the answer that we always hear: yes. We always hear what we want to hear when our motives are impure and our attitude's wrong. And then when we have wrong intentions, and Pastor mentioned Ananias and Sapphira on Sunday, when our intentions are wrong, this is a dangerous place. Another hindrance is when there's a hardness in our heart. Our hearts are hard. What causes our hearts to be hard? Rebellion, resisting the Holy Spirit. That causes us to be hard, and we wonder, why can we not hear from God? Why am I not able to? Why, God? Why aren't you speaking to me? Why don't I hear your voice? Not listen. A lack of submission to authority in our lives causes us to miss hearing the voice of God. We can't just be yielded and submitted when we get the answer we want to get. That's not true submission. That's not true yielding. True submission, it takes place when we get the answer we want and when we don't get the answer we want. That's when we exercise a right heart. Then you can get a prompting to do something, but it's not God's prompting. It's the devil's prompting. In John 13 and verse 2, it says the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. So not all promptings come from God. Sometimes the devil will put a thought in. He'll plant a seed. He'll plant something in our hearts that we think it's a good idea. We think that's something. Maybe it could be in any number of things, but not all promptings come from God. So here are a few cautions on prompting, and I'll give these to you briefly, and I'm going to ask if the musicians would make their way up here. The first thing is that promptings are not infallible. I mean, you could be wrong. Do you ever think about that? So, well, I was prompted to do something. It could be, not in all cases, but it could be, you could be wrong in that situation or that decision. I'd be careful about just acting impulsively on big decisions and not involving someone who can speak into your life and give godly counsel. It says, in Proverbs, in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Why does he put that there? Because when we make decisions impulsively, we make decisions without any other input, we can get it wrong. It could be that there's something that we're not seeing, somebody that is outside of this immediate situation that has an unbiased perspective could have something valuable to offer in this situation, and it could save us from a lot of heartache. Let me know what I'm talking about. Like marrying the wrong person. And sometimes when we get our eye on something, we get our attention on something that we want it so bad, we don't care what anybody else has to say or what anybody else thinks about it. Well, they'll just have to live with it. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to get. And it could be a mistake. That's just a word of warning. There are a lot of things that we could be spared from if we would just simply, first of all, pray, and then get some other input. Talk to your parents, talk to a pastor, talk to somebody that's got some good godly sense. Say, hey, can you give me some input? Don't seek out people that just will tell you what you want to hear. That's where people make a mistake. They're just looking for somebody that'll agree with them. So our promptings are not infallible. So that's probably one of the first rules when it comes to hearing a word from God is that you could be wrong in that situation. The other thing is that just because you get a prompting from God does not mean that it's something that's going to happen immediately. It could be a year. It could be 3 years. It could be 5 years. It might be 10 years. It could be 30 years. But just because he gives us something and gives us a word, you know, sometimes we hear something and we think, oh, that's the Lord. I'm gonna start working to make that happen. Who do I need to call? How do I need to make this thing work? That's another mistake. We get ahead of God. Another word of caution when it comes to the promptings of the Holy Spirit is we want all of the information right now. God doesn't operate like that. The fact is, if God were to give us all of the details about something, we would likely not even go down that road and follow God. Because we'd say, you know what? That's too much for me. I don't think I can handle it. I don't want to have to go through all of that to get there. God doesn't give us everything, and you may never get everything. But then it wouldn't be faith. Listen, when we take a walk of faith, it's stepping out without having, that's what faith is, stepping out without all of the information, trusting in God. Now, I'm going to preach on it here in a few weeks as a part of this series, and that's the simplicity of it. It's just walking on water. It's walking on water. You say, well, that sounds complicated. It's not to Jesus. When he called Peter out of that boat, he just said one word. What was it? Come. Come, Peter, come. And if we can put our eyes on the Lord, get our eyes on Him, get our eyes off of ourselves and off of our circumstances and what we want, God will speak to us. He'll guide us. We'll go through life. He will be hearing His voice. And if He's not speaking to us through somebody else or through His Word, He's speaking to us in a still small voice. He still does it. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for all of us. And that's a mark of maturity in a Christian. In a person who is whether you're a new convert or you've been serving God for 20, 30 years, it doesn't matter. That is a mark of maturity when we can listen to the voice of God and hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You're growing. You're maturing. God will do it for you. Let's bow our heads all across this place. Reverence to the Lord, every head bowed and eyes closed. First, I want to give an invitation to those that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You are not born again tonight. You are not ready to stand before God and have to answer for your own life and for the things that you've done. You say, I'm not ready. I'm not. There are things in my life. There's something separating me from God. There's something in my heart that I know needs to be changed. I need Jesus to take the sin from my life. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. You need mercy? He has mercy. You need forgiveness? He offers forgiveness. While our heads are bowed, how many across this place, you say, that's me. I need Jesus. Pray for me. I need salvation. God bless you, sir. How many more? Raise your hand up. Yes, God bless you. Yes, I see your hand. How many more? Quickly, put it up and put it back down. This is our moment right now. Yes, God bless you. You can put it down, sir. How many more? There are others here. You're in the midst of a big decision. Maybe it's something that you've been praying about. You haven't told anybody. I want you to know God will give you guidance. God will give you direction. He'll help you. Maybe it's, you know, God cares about big decisions and the little ones. I'm not saying you got to pray about every single small thing. But I want you to know God cares about every decision that you're in the midst of making. You don't have to wander. You don't have to wonder, am I doing the right thing? You can know because you're close with Him and you're walking with Him. We're going to find a place around these altars. We're just going to take a few minutes. Before we dismiss, let's all stand together. I'd like for these that lifted their hands, sir, can I pray for you?